You're drunk, you're fucked up.
The whiskey queen.
I'm chilling. Just chilling.
So,
we call him Whiskey Jeff.
Whiskey Jeff.
I'm gonna call him Jazzy Jeff, though. That's
satisfying. Yeah.
You're walking with the jazz hands.
Not
so.
The first.
Jazzy Jeff, dog.
All right, welcome to our first podcast. I have friends. I'm Stephen Morris. I'm here with Julian Cruz. I'm here with Jeff Ansi. I don't know your
Jeff
last
Roy.
Name. Jeff Roy.
Jeff Roy. There you go. First time.
Kalinda Roy. Kevin Roy.
Oh,
are you related to our friends? Related?
I have no idea.
No.
Mine ends with an E. R-O-Y-E.
Oh
damn.
It's like the French spelling, right?
You're fucking weird as fuck.
It
anyway.
Could be Wong. There's
I've never heard that. In my
there's
life,
a string in Houston that's supposedly my last name, but they changed the spelling to match with the sound of the last. It's W-A-U-G-H.
What was that? What?
And Wah. But it used to be R-Y-E.
So anyway, apparently. In this episode of White People, in this episode of White People with weird fucking names.
French.
Friends with names.
So we're here in Austin, Texas. We all live here. We're at Indian Roller, a bar off of Manchaca.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Skull Mechanics Golden Cat.
I thought it was called Manchac.
Manchac?
That's like the...
But that's the white people... Yeah,
yeah, spelling, yeah. I didn't want to say it.
And there's like a petition to change the name too, which
there
is
a petition. I don't
understand.
But leave the spelling.
The correct pronunciation is Manchaca.
Manchaca, yeah.
Manchaca. Well, I'm down with that, yeah.
It ends in an A.
Yeah.
I mean, my name's spelled weird, so whatever. Yeah.
So anyway, weird shit,
yeah.
But...
And so you just pronounce wrong, that's all.
It is. And it's spelled differently everywhere.
Yeah.
You ask random people, like it's...
Yeah, everybody pronounces it differently.
It's different. But I'm drinking a Skull Mechanics Golden Cat. You were drinking...
Probably the dumbest pairing of all time, but...
Which would definitely get you fucked up, right?
Yeah, I guess so. A Pacifico and a Bullet Rye whiskey. Yeah. The dumbest... But
I tried your whiskey when you went to the bathroom because you told me to, and it was really fucking good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I did like it, yeah.
I could definitely sip it. On it on rocks.
And I would see myself drinking it with Coke and Dr. Pepper too.
I feel like I do.
It's easy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Coke, which is probably the most unpopular opinion of all time.
I'm gonna kind of jump
ale
in.
Or ginger brew.
Oh, yeah, for
ginger.
Sure.
So you gave me that ginger ale with lemon.
The lemonade, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Oh, dude.
But I'm gonna jump in real quick. Have you guys seen that shit? Where people are drinking like Coke Zero and milk.
Dude, what? Why?
Yeah,
why is that a thing?
I don't fucking know. Coke Zero and milk. So it was on Facebook. It was a video. And I was watching it. And they were saying people like in the 50s and 60s, that was their go-to drink. Which kind of like, it took me
Coke
back
Zero?
To like. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was like a new thing.
Man. I don't fucking know. It was some shit. It was just, I just think about Coke and
it's
milk.
It's like a shitty Coke float.
That's what I'm thinking about. Like, it kind of reminds me of a Coke float. If you're like if you're shit melted. Yeah, 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 exactly. But anyway, we'll talk about that later on. But you're drinking, Jeff.
It's mystery whiskey.
Oh,
yeah.
I bought him a whiskey, but I don't remember what he said it was. The Bartender Jordan.
It's working for me. I don't know what it is.
Is it good?
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Yeah.
And then
I
your
like whiskey in general, but...
Your other drink is a bitch drink, which is...
Little
water. No ice.
A little blue cup.
So this first episode, right, we're talking with friends. So I'm talking with friends. Julian and Jeff. Hopefully they're friends. But...
Working on it.
We're not there yet.
I don't know, man. You left us with that person one time at the bar.
I'm not there yet, boss.
I thought y'all left me. So it was all a mix up. I didn't see y'all.
We'll see
if
there's
a bathroom break. I don't know.
We've seen each other since then. Beers were flowing. I don't know.
But we'll see for friends after this episode. But this episode, we want to talk about music and what music means to ourselves and our story through music. So I kind of want to talk to Julian first about your story with music. Can you just talk about like what you've been through and what's happened with you?
I guess I'm just music kind of runs in my blood because my pops is a musician. He's a drummer in a local band here called Rotel and the Hot Tomatoes. Been around for 35 plus years now, and that's pretty cool to say. And he's a drummer, so that, I mean, obviously been around it my whole entire life. So around 6 years old, they bought me a drum set, and from there it's history, man. That's where it started. So as soon as I was old enough to, you know, wasn't scared enough to talk to people and meet friends on my own, I was playing in bands, you know, middle throughout high school and then even after high school now. So been in countless bands and other, you know, musical fill-ins and stuff throughout the years, but currently I'm in a band called Lights Like Autumn. And we just got back from San Antonio today, actually.
Which is a brand new band you're with, right?
Yes, it's a brand new band. We have two singles out and a music video for one of those singles. And we just finished up a small EP in San Antonio. And our first show is May 11th at the Dirty Dog Bar in Austin, Texas.
So if you're living here in Austin, you like like rock pop music.
It's more poppy. It's a good blend, though. We have some Latin stuff in there. We got some pop stuff in there. We got the rock and roll vibes in there. So definitely, if you're into that shit, check it out, man.
Dirty Dog, May 11th. What time?
Doors open? I believe doors are at 7. So
7, and then you guys play with a couple of bands, and then the last band to play is...
The last band to play is headlining is also from here in Austin called Colorblind. It's actually their EP release show.
So which I'm pretty sure they're good, but you should really go for a live...
Obviously you should go for all the bands, but definitely this is a special one for us because we're playing with a lot of friends.
For show.
And this is our first show. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll definitely be there, Jeff. It's our debut. You need to be there.
Yeah.
Whiskey on us all night.
There you go.
Okay. All night on us.
There.
Just don't fucking knock over our drinks. So anyway, so that's your story, like beginning with music.
Been there, done that.
Right, yeah, exactly. So that's the story of music. You grew up with the music. Your dad bought you a set. And then you just kind of started playing with music, and then you're now, you've been in a couple of bands before, but now you're actually in a serious band where you're doing what you've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
Where you see yourself in an actual future with this band.
Absolutely.
Which I've met a bandmate who is a barber, and they're in their shop in Austin, and their shop is called...
Salon 1.0. It's a Paul Mitchell focused salon.
In Mueller. He's done my cut, he's done your cut.
Yeah.
You should definitely go, that's a really good cut. So Jeff, we want to kind of cut to you. And, like, what's your story of music? How did you get into it?
Man, how did I get into music? I mean, I grew up in Houston. There was famous Houston rap station, 97.9, The Box, still there. And R&B station, Magic 102, was just my go-to. Like, there was, you know, no way of avoiding either of those. Like, they were just always coming out of the little, you know, boombox or whatever. Like, Sony boombox with the CD player on top. And the tape cassette on front. You could just record all the, you know, songs you want off of it. Make your little mixtape, essentially. That was my, you know, high school and before, even. And loved rap. I used to be able to, like, listen to every song. You could play a song for 10 seconds or less, and I could tell you the song, the artist, and, like, finish the whole verse, you know, for the rest of the song.
Do you think you still did that?
At one point, huh?
Yeah. At one point.
Could I still do it? No.
I love doing that, man.
Yeah, but 20 years ago, for sure.
I remember at one point you and I used to quiz each other, right?
Like that, the same thing you used to do the artist album and the album name, I think it was.
Yeah, I'm going to finish the verse even, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, super cool shit. And it's crazy how, like, a song that you just, like, grew up with, and, like, you can hear, like, the very first note of the song, and you're just like, oh, that's, you know, XYZ song. But that's so cool that...
It was just so meaningful,
Yeah, exactly.
I was just absorbing it. I just sat by the little boombox all the time that we had, recorded stuff all the time, made little cassettes and kept them, handed out to a couple people or whatever. Traded a bunch of CDs with friends early on. Like, friend gave me all his Wu-Tang CDs.
There you go.
And we got together, like, over Tejano music because we didn't have that many more stations that, I mean, after I listened to every rap song and every, you know, pop song, I would just put on the Tejano station in Houston. There's like 3 or 4 of them at least, like, and I knew half of those songs too, and I had a Mexican girlfriend in junior high and high school, and...
Yeah, and he kind of told us the story.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you used to watch, like, late night TV and Tejano bands were playing on the
TV? There was a rap show that would come on. It was either Saturday or Sunday nights. D Solo hosted it. And it was all the, like, new Houston rap videos and other, some stuff beyond Houston. And then right after that, it was the Tejano show. You know, Bobby Pulido, Selena, Intocable, like, whatever, La Mafia. And I was just jamming that stuff, you know? Like, it was just both of those. Like, it was just all I heard, you know? And so it absorbed me. And then in Houston, there's always a big dance scene. And I went to raves, like, just out of high school. And was just hooked from then on, like, wanted to be a DJ, you know, from what I saw. I was like, I love this music. I want to play this music. And just went to the record stores and bought whatever I could afford at the time. And
so
it's been hooked on records since.
At this point, like, you've bought a lot of records. You actually recently just showed me a picture of your music room.
Yeah.
With a lot of synth players and records and record players.
I've got drum machines, synthesizers, samplers. But the thing I get down most on is just my records. I have like over 2,000 records. You know, like kind of grouped by genre, house, techno, disco. I've got, you know, like Brazilian Tropicália from the 70s, which is kind of like the Beatles, like Brazilians doing like kind of the Beatles and psychedelic rock sort of mix or whatever. It's great. And that's been a big influence. And I just keep collecting whenever I can, you know, get rid of stuff that's less important and then try to get this, trade that for stuff that's more important, you know.
So when you collect, where do you go buy your LPs at?
I mean, I'm a cheapo, man. I go to the thrift stores, you know, like Goodwill and stuff. Like
sometimes you find the gems in there. People don't know what they have sometimes.
Man, I found $100 records like at Goodwill, you know, like, but occasionally I'll go to random record stores and you might find the dollar bin. Like I found like a $650 record one time in the dollar bin, you know, like you never know what you're gonna come across.
So how do like the people at the record stores not notice that record in the dollar bin?
The thing is, every record store has their weakness. They have the one thing, the one genre, maybe two or three sort of micro-genre stuff that they just don't care about. They're a rock store, they don't care about dance records. So you go to the dance section and look for all the cheap stuff, and you might find some gold in there that's like costs nothing.
That's so awesome. Something they don't know about.
They don't know about, just, they just didn't want to bother with
it. Don't care with it, they're just going to, you know, put it out there to get rid of it.
Exactly. I'm into Breakaway, which is great soul, rock, psych, whatever, 45s. Like,
well, I know we like
Goldmine place, you know.
We definitely like Breakaway Records.
Love
we
that. Like, record that was like, that's like honestly one of my favorite
I think
records.
It's, well, for it's me, great. I think it's End of an Ear, Breakaway, Waterloo, Piranha. And then we once went to Encore Records.
Oh, yeah. Encore Records is at the bottom.
It's closed.
And it's exactly.
Just closed.
I mean, like, we felt so poorly about it, and then look what happened to it.
Actually, I'm gonna go ahead and say, I'm putting my boy Tommy at the top,
bro. Dude, turntable.
Turntable for life, dude.
I forgot about him.
Quad T, dog.
If you can fit in, if you can squeeze between the pile of, you know. Yeah.
But you, like, earlier you were saying that it's like.
It's a dig.
The conversation earlier, you were saying that it's like going into somebody's garage.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a cool vibe. Though, like, it's really cool to just go in there and just kind of shuffle through all his records, and it's kind of, you're going through his personal collection,
yeah,
to me, picking out what he wants, what you want, you know.
Yeah, to me, the less organized, the better.
Yeah, it's so cool.
You don't know what you can find.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like,
surprise
anywhere.
To you too.
Yeah, I found like, so I went recently, like 2 weeks ago, I found some really good records for sure. I found Abraxas and Amigos by Santana, and I really enjoyed those, and I got those. I found a Norah Jones, and I was so close to getting an Iron Maiden record, too. So close. But, I mean, I've spent so much money, you know, this month. I was like, you know,
exactly.
I kind of have to put it back. So I was like,
You gotta hold yourself
back. But I was like, I probably can find it, like, another time for sure.
But I think that's one of the cooler things going to Tommy's shop is, I feel like with other record stores, I tend to have, like, in mind what I want or, like, what I'm looking for. But with Tommy's, I kind of just go there just to browse.
Yeah.
Like, I never go in there saying, I want a Santana record. I want, you know.
That's sometimes the best digs.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
It's just digging for
gold. True. And then you go in there. It's like a garage where you're kind of just walking through random stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, there may be records on the floor. There might be record players on the floor. And you have to move them yourself. The cool thing is, like, Tommy's there to converse with you. He's there to talk with you.
Very helpful.
And you're saying he's there to play anything with you. And he has all these stories where he can, like, literally entrap you in his past and the things he's listened to and seen and heard and done.
Which is more than most of us combined. Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's
crazy.
That guy
goes super deep. Yeah.
It does, man. He, like, has... You can name any record, Fleetwood Mac or Toto, Journey, like
the most obscure
and he's
thing.
Got a, yeah. and he's got like a very descriptive, but he's got like a connection to each of these records.
Yeah.
That's just like, oh yeah, I remember doing this. Like
he knows if he has it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh no, I don't have it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. This dude has tons of records, and you can ask him anything, and he'll be like, no, I don't have that, or I do have that, or I have 4 copies of that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he has tons of records in that small little area. But then he was saying he has so much more in his garage at home, literally in his garage at home, that he can bring over.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, that's a lot. And it really goes to show you, like, he's in it because he loves music. Mm-hmm. And he's not there to get the money. He's there to
spread the, you know,
spread the joy for music. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is
of not only music but of vinyl. I feel like not just music but his love for vinyl and the culture that comes with it.
Yeah, which is like our conversation today.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So we'll take a break here and we'll pause for a second.
Did you forget your password?
I did forget my password.
Yeah, this idiot
forgot. Alright, so we're back from our break, and we're going to talk about Julian and your adventures into the band.
It's kind of a dumb story, I guess, but I guess worth talking about. It was really random. I just... So I work for Austin East Siders, and big homies over there in Colorblind, that show that we're playing, Tyler Mosley, the drummer, and Nick Asper, bass player of that band, work with me at East Siders, and they helped me get the job at East Siders. So we've been homies for a while, known them just in the music scene for a little bit. And Tyler actually was asked to join this band before I was asked to join this band. Or he wasn't asked to join the band, but he was asked to fill in for a music video for our current single that's out now. And he was out of town, thankfully, honestly, because then he recommended me. So he gave the bass player of this band, of my band currently, he gave them my number. And they called me up on a Saturday, and I happened to be off the one weekend I'm actually off. And he called me up and he asked me if I could fill in for a music video. The music video was later that evening. They called me, you know, mid-morning, and they sent me a song and asked if I could learn it for that evening for the video shoot. And I liked the song, and I just took a chance on it. I said, cool, yeah, like maybe nothing will come of it, but at the least I can maybe use this video to put myself out there more to see if any other bands would like me. So I go in and do the video, and I guess a lot of what music videos are is fake at a certain point, because you're not technically playing the song, but the drummer always plays the song, because there's no way to really fake drums. Like, you have to look like you're playing, so you might as well just play the song.
You might as well hit the
yeah, exactly. You're just hitting it. So they got to hear me play the song, and I guess they were just impressed that I learned the song with the few hours that I had to learn it. And we got to talking, and we were all level-headed and pretty much on the same page as far as music goes and as far as how we treat being in a band. And it's one thing to play music as a hobby, and over everything, I play music because I love music and I love playing drums and I love being creative. And I feel like that's the biggest way I can let my creative... It's like my creative outlet. Like, a lot of people are good at painting or other forms of art, but I feel like this is the biggest way I can express myself. And those guys really had the same outlook on being in a band as I did.
So we're talking about where you were part of the music video, and I watched it whenever they actually published it, and it really seemed like you were actually part of the band. Originally, you were, you know, in their group. It was pretty badass, like, to see that and to see everything kind of, like, unfold into, like, the true music video it was intended to be.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I have a really good ear, you know. Like, I learn quickly, I guess I could say. Like, I learn really fast. I'm not saying I'm perfect or I'm the greatest drummer in the world, but I feel like the song they gave me, it wasn't a difficult song. It wasn't something
Well, I do have to say, because, like, well, we've been friends for a good while. Absolutely. Like, a pretty long time. And, you know, both you and I, musically inclined, I would say for sure you more so than me. But you also have a really good drive in music, where you're really focused in what you want and what you're doing. And every time, like, we've we fuck around a lot with music.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've like taught summer school before, like where I taught kids how to play piano. You taught kids how to play drums. I was surprised, and like I taught a first grader how to play the piano.
Super cool.
You taught a kid in fourth grade how like to just like groove with a beat on the drums. Which
I don't know, man.
That was the coolest shit. What listen
it's
to that kid?
It's definitely awesome. Like just, it was cool for me, man. Just being able, like, I don't consider myself a teacher by any means because I don't feel like I deserve that title, but. Just for me explaining something in a way where that kid understood, and like I tried to break it down in terms where he can understand it, you know, being a younger kid, and try to relate to him with music that he liked, and
you did. But I feel like you were so good at your craft that you were able to break it down so simple yet still teach it, and I mean kind of shows in what you do every day where you're in this band, you so quickly learn the music, and you're able to be a part of the music video, which you really kicked ass in.
Thank you. I appreciate
So you were
that.
In the music video, you produced it. What happened? Like, in so, the same time, what happened?
So, like I said, they called me about 11 a.m. We chatted for about an hour. They sent me a song, and I learned it as quick as I could. I learned the structure of the song. And I went in at about 6 p.m. to the space that they had booked for the video. So when I got there, you know, it was mainly talking and telling me what they wanted out of me for the video and explaining, you know, they didn't want anything crazy or they didn't expect anything crazy, but I wanted to give them the best performance I could give them because it's a video. It's something, when you make a music video, you want people to watch and you want people to be engaged more than 30 seconds into the video. And since this being an unknown band, you know, people are just, I feel like in the scene, in the genre that we're in, it's sometimes very unlikely for a person to be engaged for more than 30 seconds if they're not visually, you know, if it's not something they want to watch or something they normally listen to. So I feel like for me going into it, me knowing the part to the best of my ability and just pretty much being a video and looking as cool as I could, I tried to do that, and they seemed to be very impressed with what I did and how I performed, and I didn't let my playing suffer because I was doing, you know, something cool with my sticks or whatever it was that I was doing. I played very well.
You're always professional, on point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what you want, you go for it. You're really good at it. Yeah,
absolutely. And They were very impressed. So after the shoot was over, they kind of had a little powwow on their own, and the bass player came up to me, and he was just like, "Hey man, like, since you're currently not in a project, would you like to continue working with us? Like, it was like, we had a blast working with you. You're a really cool dude, and on top of that, you play the drums awesome, dude." And I really dug their music, and they showed me a bunch of other stuff that they were currently working on, and I loved the direction that they were going in. And it got my creative juices flowing in a way that I hadn't, you know, been challenged in that way in a long time musically.
Which you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and get into that more quote-unquote mainstream genre, I guess you could say. So it was cool to finally meet people that had that same mindset and the same drive that I had, that I've been having for years and throughout different bands. I just did not have that drive. And it was cool to finally meet people like that and really connect and actually play good together. It wasn't like an awkward thing, like normal bands get together and they just don't know how to play together yet for a while. Yeah, exactly. I think we all had that same mindset and drive that helped us play together as a unit and sound good doing it. So
yeah, and that's what you need as a band.
Yeah. So by the end of the night, they asked me to work with them and be a member of their band, which was super cool. I'm surprised that they took a chance on me, and I'm glad they did because
I'm not surprised.
So Jeff, we haven't heard for you in a while. I have a question for you, Jeff.
For a reason.
So Jeff, my question to you is: what does music mean to you? We've talked about like your past and music.
That's a wide open question. I don't know where to go with that.
Where God. You fell in love with music? Like if
like did it bring you out of a dark place as a kid, or did it like give you
Does it bring back memories? Like,
as a kid, no. I mean, memories all the time, every day.
Any point of your life. With all anything we've asked right now.
Plus years, yeah.
Like, I think it's pretty safe to say out of everything you do, hobby-wise, or love in life, I think music's at the top of that list.
Well, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Like, why is it at the top of your list?
You know? I've really thought about it. If you think about it, like, everybody listens to music in your car, at work, at home. Music is everywhere and anywhere, no matter what genre, no matter what type, no matter who's playing, no matter what instrument, no matter what sound. Music is heard by literally everybody in some sort of capacity.
God, I hope so.
It's crazy.
No, for sure.
It's so much everybody.
I feel like it's kind of a big part of everybody's life, whether they make it a big part of their life or not. It's there. But I feel like another big majority of people like have like a special connection to music, whether they're musically inclined or not. They just like have this crazy love for music because it makes them feel good, or you know, takes them out of that dark place, or whatever it could be.
So Jeff, going back to you, our questions. So it's my question, and it kind of morphed into our questions.
Everything.
So, music. Anything, everything you know, thought about, what it made you feel, what it brought you out of in some dark place. You're drunk, you're fucked up.
The whiskey queen.
No, I'm chilling. Just chilling.
So,
we call him Whiskey Jeff.
Whiskey Jeff.
I'm gonna call him Jazzy Jeff, though. That's
satisfying. Yeah.
You're walking with the jazz hand.
Not
so.
The first.
Jazzy Jeff, dog.
Where to begin? Yeah, I mean, music, I don't know if it pulled me out of a dark place as much as kept me out of a dark place, perhaps.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There was plenty of times where I could have been there, but music was always there equally, like saying, come on, we're over here.
Come have fun, dude. Come jam.
Yeah, there was always plenty of it, you know, that was really great, and I appreciated and still do any genre, minus country, mostly.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a huge country fan, man.
I'm gonna say...
And that's cool.
I really started listening to a lot of Glenn Campbell. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, but cool, you know, whatever. Glenn, yeah, I mean, he's their own...
I'm more sorry.
I'm just kidding. No. Yeah. I don't even know what that means. Really.
Back in 2014,
I don't know what that means.
He was scared.
Thank you for opening up.
He came out with an album. I believe it was called "Ghosts on the Canvas." And so I have no idea how I heard the album. I cannot fucking remember, but I remember listening to it, and I liked the album. And I I downloaded it on my iPod. Right? It was like the 64 gig. I don't know what the fuck it was.
The iPod video.
It's like the big ass brick one. Yeah, it was a big ass brick one. So anyway, I remember that. And then I recently, like two weeks ago, last week, I was listening to it nonstop in my classroom. I remember that. With the kids. And no kid complained. Anyway, so that was like my little thing about country. So
there's good country, you know, like I mean I found a country album recently that God, if I can only think of the name, it was like some guy like Willis Ray something. I don't even know what the name was.
Really,
he made one album. Maybe he was Texas-based, maybe not. I don't know. And he covered Muskrat Love by Captain and Tennille, and it was the best thing ever. It was just
it's cool.
I don't even like country, but this is amazing. Yeah, it was so beautiful. Yeah, had a great little groove to it. Yeah, and it was incredible.
Country being really beautiful. Luke Combs.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite country artists at the moment. Luke Combs, man.
Very good. Really good.
Which is crazy, man. I was talking to the producer of that, you know, that just produced our EP, and he was one of the inspirations for my drum tones, man. Like his drummer. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
I literally the producer asked me for songs that I loved the drum tones on, and I didn't have to think of songs. I gave him one song, and it was a Luke Combs song because I knew that was what
it was. One that you showed me that one time, right?
It's She's Got the Best of Me,
the
first Luke Combs song I ever heard, and it was the coolest and the cleanest sounding drums I've ever heard in my life. It was
that you showed me in your truck, listen to it. You talk about the drum tone, you're saying the producer, whoever produced it.
It's incredible. I don't know who produced that album, but dude, he just really knew what he was doing and really knew how to capture.
And that song like came up a couple of days ago, and all that kind of came back again.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, it sounds really good. It is really, he's really good.
It's crazy how you, like, I don't know, man. Just music.
I mean, sometimes the combination of tones and things, like,
yeah, absolutely,
create this world that regardless of genre or whatever you think you liked you or didn't like before, it, yeah, you can appreciate for whatever reason. Yeah.
Music, yeah.
Like, it just hits the sweet spots, you know, in you, and you're like, oh, that's it. You know, like, regardless of country, Tejano, disco, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, in hip-hop, I mean, it was always, for all of us, right? Like, a big thing, and you go back and you figure out, well, they were sampling all these records that they liked the tone of or the vibe of or it meant something at the time and they recreated it, and we still get to hear that tone with them rapping over it or whatever their new rendition of it,
yeah,
instrumental or otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter, but like those tones hit you even if they're from the 70s or the 90s or now, like, doesn't matter.
It's
super cool
and
shit,
it's just,
man,
something that just hits you in the gut or the heart or wherever, you know, and like that's important.
Yeah. So Jeff, we'll end on this note, on this question. If you, because you're a DJ, then every now and then you DJ weddings and different gigs.
Weddings, clubs, whatever, yeah. Here.
Jeff, if you were to play three different records, one record, or one song per record, what record would you play by what artist, what song? So three different records.
Three
different artists.
That's a good question.
One song. What would it be?
Wait, one song.
One song
just one song from each record.
Yeah. So what artist, what song, what record?
I know Time Warp's on one of them. I know Time Warp's on one of them. This motherfucker
played that at a wedding.
This motherfucker gets crazy.
The last wedding I played.
Was it
Time Warp. Rocky Horror Picture Show, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Went down hard. I mean, if I was to play some random stuff, you know, just like whatever I'm vibing on, doesn't matter if it mixes or not, well, like, genre, dance floor or not. Yeah.
So not really anything random, but like, any, like what... A song that you would want to hear.
Like if you're DJing here at Indian Roller. Like,
what song would you want to hear?
If I was just DJing top here, three. Out in the open, random, wasn't worried about a dance floor, keeping the tempo or something.
But you would want to hear it.
Yeah, Caetano Veloso, Oli Ozenio is an amazing record. He's Brazil's like Stevie Wonder / John Lennon sort of figure, you know I mean? And he's still alive. And still killing it.
That's awesome.
This guy has been just Brazil's most popular figure, one of, since the 60s, at least. And it's just a ballad that he did, you know, a little simple, like, about the little lion or whatever kind of song, and just pretty beautiful, simple song. I think it was, like, late 70s, early 80s that he did it. And there's a couple versions of it, and they're all incredible. It doesn't matter what version they're all
awesome,
beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's just simple, and it sobers you up. It just makes you sit outside of yourself and go, wow, okay, there's this other world. Like, I don't, like, it de-stresses you. It takes you away from everything. That's
awesome.
One. Yeah. Another one, God, if I can only remember the title. It's by The Slits, but it's not off their first album. It's like a later single that they did. And it's just a, like, super dubby, crazy drum song, echo vocals. And it's escaping me, and I have it on 12-inch. I had it for a couple of years, lost it or got rid of it or sold it to a friend, I don't remember, and then I got it again last year. It's called Earthbeat, that's what it is. Earthbeat and Earth Dove or something. And it's just super beautiful, dubby song that's just kind of a what-the-fuck song that I don't even know if the vocals have any kind of, like, sensible, like, you
meaning
know,
or anything?
Like, lyrics, the lyrics, like, have any... The melodies are nice. The lyrics, I don't even remember if they have any meaning or anything. It's just this great dubby song that puts me in a cool place.
So that's two. One more.
That's two. And if I had the record, I want to buy the record. There's this singer that's been around for the past 5-ish plus years called Jessica Pratt. Yeah, no. Yeah, and she's backup vocalist for Katy Perry. No, that's not true. Jessica Pratt, and she sounds like Stevie Nicks covering Joanna Newsom or something, or vice versa. I don't know. Like, she has this weird sort of elfin voice, but just doing these beautiful pop melodies that sound like the best parts of all your favorite records or something.
Really?
She just put out this new album, and almost every song, pretty every song is amazing. And there's a couple that are just even more standout than the rest. And I don't even remember what it's called, but her newest album, Jessica Pratt, excellent stuff.
So we'll definitely listen to those three. Yeah. So to recap, the three artists, Jessica Pratt,
Caetano Veloso, and The Slits.
The Slits. Good. Awesome. So we'll definitely get into that. Listen to them.
Absolutely.
Julian, I want to go back to you.
Cool.
Throw in your band. When do you play? Where at?
Yeah, Lights Like Autumn is the band. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram.
YouTube.
YouTube, man.
Spotify?
Spotify, Apple Music, any streaming service, any streaming anything.
Every street corner, everywhere.
Yeah. They all hoes.
Yeah, our current single that's out now is called She's Bad.
Good song.
That's the one we have a music video for. Nice. And the first single that the band released is called Roulette. Which is also another amazing, really emotional track. So be look for those, and we got new music coming out soon, man. Our next show is May 11th at the Dirty Dog Bar on 6th Street here in Austin, Texas. So
7 p.m. doors around that time.
Doors at 7 p.m. Tickets are $10, man. Super cheap show.
We'll be there.
Yeah, cost of a drink or two. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, exactly, maybe. Man. Come on out, bro. It's gonna be a good night. It's gonna be a great time.
Yeah.
So on that note. I want to say I do have friends. Jeff Roy.
We're here.
Julian Cruz. Really good conversation. It's our first episode. It's actually really cool. It was really fun.
It's a good time.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Indian roller, baby.
Indian roller for sure. Beers on us next time. Not really. Don't quote me on that. Don't sue me.
That's payment for the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon. We'll definitely see you soon.
Maybe
thank
the
you.
Record room soon.
Maybe.
Live from Jeff's record room. That's going to be a segment on this so show.
We'll see. All right. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
Later.
Peace.